for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Film 5 years in the making, French Caribbean and Parisian filmmaker Mariette Montpierre will be screening her award-winning film as part of the African Film Festival at the Walter Reed Theater within Lincoln Center on Thursday, April 12th at 4 p.m. and again on Sunday, April 15th at 6:15 p.m. A French film with English subtitles, the film is a poignant exploration into the unrequited love between a father and daughter and the extremes Elsa is willing to go to gain the recognition of her father, who was not quite the man she imagined him to be. For ticket information for this thought-provoking film, set against some of the most beautiful and lush tropic landscapes, interested parties can go online at www.filmlink.com/films/on-sale/Elsa, ELZA, or call the Film Society of Lincoln Center's box office at 212-875-5601. And for those who wish to pick up tickets in person, go to the upper level of the Walter Reed Theater, located at 165 West 65th Street between Broadway and Amsterdam Avenue. And you know what? You can also catch a glimpse of the film on YouTube and also by visiting www.elsathemovie.com. Although born in Guadeloupe and raised in Paris, Mariette has lived in the United States for nearly 25 years. Educated at the Sorbonne at the University of Paris, she also attended Smith University in Massachusetts and NYU in New York. After working for a time doing commercials as a producer for BBD&O, which she really enjoyed, she felt there was more to life than just making money. So Mariette followed her passion to tell the stories that meant something to her. She has done several videos and small films, but Elsa is her first feature film, and in fact, she is the first female Caribbean director to do a narrative. Well, we have Mariette with us, so why don't we welcome Mariette Montpierre to the show.
Welcome. I'm really happy to be here. Thank you for having me. It's a beautiful day in New York.
Go ahead. And
it's a beautiful day in New York, and I can enjoy the sun and talking to you. I love that.
Well, you know, and the sun is it's a bright day today, and you know it is part of the Easter weekend, so enjoy. But you know, let's just talk about you for a minute.
I like that.
I want to talk about how you started. I know you have done shorts in the past, like Rendezvous and Sweet Mickey for President. So why don't you tell me something about it?
Well, I first started to work at BBD Advertising. It's a big agency in New York City. And I was a producer there. I was doing producing commercials for big clients like Pepsi, GE, Gillette, Pizza Hut. So I was enjoying my time at BBDO, but I felt like something was missing, and I wanted to tell my stories. I wanted, you know, our community of Caribbean people and Caribbean women to have a voice, because we never see each other on the screen. And I felt that there were a lot of important stories that needed to be done. And when I was looking around me, I saw a lot of people, a lot of children who did not have fathers, who did not know their father, or who were estranged from their father, or had a really poor relationship with them. And I felt like it was almost the norm in the African-American community and also in the Caribbean community. And I felt really compelled, you know, to tell, you know, this story of Elsa. But before I was able to tell that story, I had to, you know, to learn the craft. And I started the craft of filmmaking by first doing music videos. And a French record label by the name of Déclic Communications asked me if I wanted to, if I would direct and produce videos for their major French Caribbean artists like Ralph Tambor, Malavoie, and these are maybe artists that are not well known in America, but they are major artists in France and in the French Caribbean. So I started this adventure not knowing where it was going to lead me, because I felt compelled to do that, although it is true that it was tough at the beginning, and I took a big pay cut because I was living a very comfortable life as a producer at BBDO. And all of a sudden, when I started to be a filmmaker, I was on the other side of the fence, meaning that I was the one making the phone calls to beg for work and to ask people to see my work. And before that, I was always being the person people were calling on me, you know, to give them work. So it was of a switch, but I had faith that this was my calling, and somebody needed to tell, you know, our stories. So I took on this task, and I'm really happy that I did.
Well, tell me about your short. Now, a lot of people might not know what a short is. Can you tell me what that is?
A short is actually a short film that's anywhere from 30 seconds to half hour. It's a little film, and usually when you start out as a filmmaker, you first direct shorts, and then longer format like feature or documentary. So I
well, you had Rendezvous was one of your films. Tell me about that.
Yes.
That was short, right?
Yes, it was a short film. It was 10 minutes, and it was my very first short film, and I took this short film around the world. I was selected at the Toronto Film Festival. I was also selected in a festival in a competition in Cannes, in the south of France, in Montreal, in Marrakech, in Berlin. I basically did... I went around the world with the film, and it established me as a filmmaker, and it was called Rendezvous. It was the story of a woman waiting for somebody, and everybody thinks it's she's waiting for a lover, but actually she's waiting for the son that she abandoned when she was a teenager. So I lead the people to think one way, and then I surprise them with a completely shocking ending.
Tell me about Sweet Mickey for President. What was that about?
Well, Sweet Mickey for President was a documentary, a portrait of the Haitian artist. His name is Michel Martelly. He was at the time very controversial, but very loved in the Haitian community, and he wanted to be president of Haiti. So my documentary, you know, throughout the documentary, we don't know whether it's a joke or a reality, so I keep you guessing and wondering. And this man was a very outrageous man, and you know what happened? This film was shot in 1997, And in 2011, Michel Martelly was actually elected president of Haiti.
Oh, my goodness. Do you think the film had something to do with it?
Well, maybe all I can say is I was maybe a visionary, because the title of the film was Sweet Mickey for President? So it's ironic, or maybe not so ironic, that a decade later, he became, you know, the president of Haiti, and he's currently the president of Haiti.
Interesting that, you know, you talk about being at BBD, you know, and then stepping out, and since then you've done over 30 music videos and worked, as you said, with several prominent African, Caribbean, and even Celtic musicians.
Yes, because I'm a citizen of the world. I like to have a wide range of I like working with different formats, different lengths, different community, different culture, different ethnicity, because I'm multicultural and I embrace everybody's specificity, and I love working with different kind of artists. So I worked a lot with Celtic musician from Ireland, from the north of France, and it makes me learn about tolerance, and it makes me more cultured. So I like that. I did do a music video for a very famous Celtic group by the name of what's his name? Oh, it will come back to me. I will let you know later.
Okay. Well, in the meantime, let's go to the Isle of Guadeloupe, where you were born. Tell me something about the Isle of Guadeloupe.
Well, the Guadeloupe is located in the French Caribbean, north of Venezuela, in the Les Antilles. It's an island that's French, so we speak French and we are French citizens. And it's beautiful. It's like being in France, but under the sun. You can eat croissant, you can eat French food, but under the sun. So we have both our French culture and our African culture that we mix with our Caribbean culture. We are a land of mixed race. You know, there's all kinds of different ethnic, Chinese, Black, Lebanese. People from India, so it's a very, very, very mixed island, and we love music, and we love actually living a good life. It's a beautiful island, and I would invite you to come there and discover it. And by watching my film, it's a first step in discovery.
Well, tell me, were there occasions to see many films there growing up?
Well, as a matter of fact, my aunt was the cashier of the only movie theater in the island when I was growing up, when I was a little girl. So my
lucky you.
Excuse me?
Lucky you.
Yeah, lucky me, because what we would do for babysitting, I would just go to the theater. My aunt would sneak me in, and I would see all the films over and over again. Back in the days, we had a lot of Indian movies and a lot of karate movies, and also a lot of American movies. So I grew up watching movie, and I developed a passion for films. And when I moved to Paris, because when I was 6 years old, my mom took me and my two sisters to Paris because she was looking for a job and a better living and better education for us. So every Saturday, she used to take us to see epic movies like Gone with the Wind, The Red Robe, Sansa and Delilah, The Gladiators. So I saw a lot of American movies, and I became totally infatuated with American pop culture. And that's
and
how
that was
I,
the beginning of your interest in film?
That was the beginning of my interest in films, but also in my interest in the American culture, because from there I always dreamt for since you know that time to become a director and to live in New York. So that's what I did. As soon as I had the opportunity, I packed my bags, I moved to America, I got a scholarship to go to Smith College in Massachusetts, where I did some graduate studies. And then after graduation, I landed an internship at WBLS Radio in New York. It was called WBLS, in a class by itself, 107.5. I don't know if you remember. It was the good old days where I was hanging out with all the WBLS people, and that's how I started in the business. And then I was an intern at WBLS, and then continue on to work at BBDO. BBDO was my first job, actually.
Well, I want to play some of the music in your movie, Elsa, and you might need to help me a little bit with the name of the gentleman who sings the song I'm about to play. Well, I want to say that I played Femme at the top of the show, And who was the singer to that? Ronnie?
Theophile. Rodney Theophile is a musician from Guadeloupe, and the title of the song was Femme, F-E-M-M-E, which means woman. It was all about women. And this coming one, who is it by?
This one is by Soft that I'm about to play.
Okay, so it's called Partout Étranger, and it means everywhere we are strangers, we feel like strangers.
Well, here we go with that song, Partout Étranger.
Okay.
Délier les pieds, déchaîner la joie, tout ça ne sert à rien. Tu es pour moi, partout étranger, partout étranger. Ma sorte en aval, ou peut pas briller varval, c'est ma sorte qui est ailleurs, ou c'est ma sorte qui est à vous. À qui ressembler? Pourquoi? Alors à qui? Alors à quoi? Déraciné, perdu, m'a transporté déçu, déraciné, perdu. Chut. Ma foi qu'on a.
African influence, it sounds like.
Well,
it has an African influence to it.
Yes, because you know, the people of Guadeloupe, they came from Africa. You know, we are all descendants of, the
slave motherland.
Africa. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I want to ask you about your more recent film, but. Is it difficult to make be a filmmaker, especially when your film Elsa is your entire project, right? You did the whole. Did you write the film and edit the film and film the film?
Well, I did a lot in the film. I was the main motor behind the making of this film. I wrote it, but I had a co-writer. His name is Mama Keita. He's also a filmmaker. He did many films like The Absence, The River. So he was the co-writer. I produced it, but I was not the only producer. I had three other producers. I directed it alone, and I really carried the film because I did the fundraising for several years before I was able to start production. So it was a labor of love. It was very, very difficult. Can I say it was a tour de force, you know, because first, you know, in Guadeloupe, we do not have a tradition in making film. We don't make film. We don't come from a culture where we make film. And so although, you know, some films were made before in the island of Guadeloupe, all by men, by the way, like you said, I was the first female director to have ever directed a narrative fiction. So that was, I'm very proud of that fact, and I'm very grateful that I was able to complete this film. I did get help from the government of Guadeloupe. We call it La Région Guadeloupe. I got they supported the film financially by giving me a grant, which enabled me to produce the film. I was helped by also the French government, the Centre for National Cinema. The producers invested a bit. So I didn't make this film by myself, but, you know, because you never can do a film by yourself. But you know, without my perseverance and my struggle, you know, this movie would have never seen the light of day. And so, therefore, I'd like to thank you, all the people in Guadeloupe, you know, who had faith in me, who supported me. You know, the president of the region, his name is Victorin Lurel, and his whole staff. And I would like to thank my producers, Eric Basset, Gérard Lacroix, Edgar Tenenbaum, you know, and my friends, Joy Fleury, Mama Keita, Mr. Byron Lewis from Uli World, to really, you know, they stuck with me, you know, through thick and thin, you know, and I'm really grateful. So it was really tough. And my son, which I missed all through, you know, the shooting and the post-production. So, you know, you have to make choices and you have to sacrifice a bit when you decide to make when you're an independent filmmaker, when you want your film to, you know, to become a reality. But I'm so happy I made it, and I'm so happy that it's going to be premiering at this prestigious location of the Lincoln Center and in this prestigious film festival, the New York African Film Festival, which I discovered many, many, many years ago when I was a producer at BBDO. I remember I used to play hookies and leave work to go to in the middle of the afternoon to watch the film that was brought from Africa and around the world to be and meet the filmmakers. For me, it was exceptional, and now I found myself being one of those filmmakers that are going to speak in front of the audience and explain my film, share with the public, and I'm going to be on the other side of I'm going to be on stage, and my movie is going to be on the big screen. I'm thrilled, and I'm so happy, so happy. It's really
well.
It's
you
really
should be also happy because your film received some awards. Tell us about your nominations and your awards.
Well, I was selected. My film was selected at the Pan African Film Festival in Los Angeles, and I went there in February. That was my first time going to this film festival, and I was so shocked. I was so happy. I couldn't believe it. That when they first called my name for the film name for Best Director First Feature, I received a special jury recognition for feature narrative, so I was really happy. But then I went to sit down, and they called my name again. And this time it was, you know, I received the BAFTA, the British Academy of Film and Television Arts, in association with the Pan-African Film Festival in Los Angeles. I received the Festival Choice Award. And so then I was like, oh my God, I was really shy, and I was crying. I went to sit down, and they called my name for the third time. And I received the Festival Programmers Award. And since then, I feel much more confident. I'm really trying to utilize those awards to get distribution. because the film don't have distribution yet. So if anybody out there is a distributor, please check out the film on the website at www.elzathemovie.com. It's Elza, E-L-Z-A, themovie.com. Or reach out to me.
Well, how do they see it on YouTube?
What, yes, you can see it on YouTube. You can type Elza, the movie. Be careful, because actually I found out later that there are two movies called Elza. There's a Brazilian movie called Elza. So you have to type Elza and my name, Mariette Montpierre, in order to make sure that you're on the right, you're watching the right Elza. The other Elza is a documentary. Mine is a feature-length narrative. So, yeah, so that's cool.
Well, tell me a little bit about it, because I mentioned that it's somewhat of an autobiography, autobiographical film, I should say,
yes.
And a little bit about your life. So tell us about that. Did you grow up with a father?
No, the film talks about, it's partly autobiographical because it's my story. I never grew up with my father. I had never met my father, and I was completely obsessed about the idea of meeting him, and I couldn't really, I felt empty. I felt my life was missing something. I was very nostalgic from the island where I was born, the island of Guadeloupe. Although I love Paris, I felt completely like a Parisian woman. But yet, not knowing my father and having left my place of birth, I was not a fulfilled woman. I was not complete, and I had to go back and return to my island to really understand who I was, and to meet this person who was supposed to be the most important man in my life, and I had to understand and see who it was and who I was. So one day I came back, and I basically looked for him. You know, in the island is very small, so everybody knows you and everybody knows where you live. So it was not a problem locating where he was, but I didn't know how to approach him. So, of course, I was very young. I was like 18 years old, and I was very impatient, and I probably did the wrong thing, because one day I just called and I said, "Hi, my name is Mariette. I was told that Mr. So-and-so is my father," and the person on the phone was actually his wife. So she kind of collapsed and was very shocked and surprised at the news. But she was wonderful in the sense that she understood exactly that, and actually she said it herself. She said every woman, every child needs to meet her father. And she said she understands exactly why I wanted to meet him, and she invited me to come, and she invited me in, and I met my half sisters and brothers, and I met my father, and I met her, and that meeting actually changed my life forever.
I want to play "Beautiful" because it's sort of a musical voice of how you would have felt meeting your father.
Absolutely, I love that song.
Disguise. I saw your wings one night. I knew you.
love in your words. On dis-moi où aimez-moi avant même où te connaître moi. Qu'on s'y nous déjà joint en d'autres chemins. Aucun démon enveloppé m'aura dans chalant tes besoins. Pour chanter en d'autres mélodies pour moi. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I don't wanna let you go until I tell you that I love you. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. You're my body and soul, so perfectly designed for you. Tu qu'à chanter, moi ça vaut. Connaître qu'à liberté, ça c'est vérité. Close to you, around you, my heart is singing a new song. Words and melody coming from you. Comfort you, holding you, this is my fantasy. Want a breath of air surrounding you. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I don't wanna let you go until I tell you that I love you. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. You're mind, body and soul, so perfectly.
By Stevie Mahi?
Stevie Mahi, yes. She's so talented. She's from Guadeloupe, and she sings in Creole and in English, and I think there's a lot of sensitivity in what she says. And when I heard that the song in a concert, before I when I was searching for music, I went to this concert in Martinique, and I heard Stevie Mahi sings that song, I thought, oh, my God. This is exactly what I'm looking for my song, for my film. So I went to see her, and she agreed, you know, to let me use her song for my film. And the words are so poignant, and you know, you feel moved when you listen to her voice, and it's great.
Well, I'm so happy that we finally worked out whatever the glitches were to get on the show, because at first we couldn't get on at all, so that the people, listeners, could hear the beauty of your story and of the music that you've selected for your film.
Yeah. Now, I'm glad I'm connected. I'm glad I connected too. It's wonderful.
Yes, it is. And well, you're telling me about your personal experience. How did your father receive you?
In reality, which is a very different from what's happening in the film. Very poorly, very poorly. The meeting was very uneventful. He barely looked at me, and he told me this one sentence with the kinky hair like yours. You cannot possibly be my daughter.
Ooh.
And it was quite shocking, and basically. The way I took it is that because I appeared out of nowhere, completely unprepared, it was, you know, tough for him, and it could not maybe respond in any different way. Maybe if the whole meeting would have happened in a different environment, in a different way, maybe his response would have been different. But he never took the opportunity to. Even days after or months after, after he never really came back on what he said, on his attitude. He just kept being, you know, the authoritative and distant person that he was when I met him. And 1 year later, he died. But when I did my film, I created a completely different character, and I wanted the film, you know, not very authoritative like the way I had known my father when I met him that one time, but I made the character progress because I think what makes the character interesting is if you start point A, but then you travel to point B and things happen, changes you, and you become a better person. So I made the character different with because at the end of the film, the father reaches out to the daughter and really embrace the daughter and gives her the recognition that she's always was looking for. And I made a beautiful, positive ending when father and daughter, you know, are dancing, and the daughter wants, the daughter has everything she has ever dreamed of, and it's surreal and it's beautiful, and it's the way I would have liked it to happen. So the film had a very cathartic power on me because I made the film be everything that I wanted, you know, my father to do in real life, and that didn't happen.
And that's often the reality of it. Do you feel that your movie will help a lot of fatherless children whose fathers are not dead? They just simply make the children and don't return. And that happens a lot in the African American, Caribbean, and community. And what do you think that is? What do you think that's about?
Well, I think that my film gives a voice to all the fatherless children everywhere in the world, and tell them that and inspires them to undertake the journey to reunite with the missing parent. And I think that when the movie was released in the French Caribbean, in Martinique and Guadeloupe and the French Guiana, I received so many letters on Facebook and emails thanking me and applauding the film, because they said, you know, now, fathers were saying, now I decided, you know, after seeing your film, that I'm going to reach out to my child. I'm going to look for her or for him. I'm going to take care of my child. It's not too late. You know, the movie made them want to be a better father and be present in their children's life. So I was really, really moved and touched, because if I can improve or change the life of one person, then the film would have achieved what it was set out to achieve. So that's a winning proposition.
Well, do you think the responsibility lies with both parents, the mother and the father? Because when you're making children, or making love, you have to consider that if you don't want children, then you should take precautions about that. Because in the end, a lot of these women end up in poverty, don't they?
Well, I think that, you know, both parents are definitely responsible for the situation. I think that we have to start from the history to see what happened, why the men in the United States and in the Caribbean are, I would like to say, volatile, or they like to have children with lots of different women. And it's almost like the more children you have, the more powerful you are, the more status that you have. And I think you have to trace this back to the slavery time, when the men were not allowed to keep their children. The children belong to the master of the mother, and not the master of the man. The man, many times in the island, in the Caribbean island, were sold over and over to different plantations. Sometimes they would leave one island and go to a different island. I call this go island hopping, but in a completely different sense. And every time they would change plantation, every time they would be sold, they started new families. They had new children. So they never took care of the children, and they never had a sense of responsibility towards these children. And I think this mentality, this attitude, continued throughout, way past slavery time, because slavery is not that old. Only like what, 160 years ago, depending on the area, on which area in the world you're talking about. But
slavery, I think it's a couple hundred years old, but I mean, it's still, slavery is still happening in the world, as you say, right now.
Well, but what I wanted to say is that it takes time to change the mentality. It is changing slowly, but you know, it is still deeply inside the psyche of men to have children, you know, in different places, and it's okay, you know, according to them. I know that the women nowadays do not accept, you know, this kind of situation, but it's still very, very widely rooted in the Caribbean and in the African American community, that you know, the women are going to bread, are going to feed the children. They are single women. They provide, you know, for their children, and the men, you know, God knows where they are, but they are absent. You know, I remember, and I still see in many places big advertisement, you know, that says, "Be a father to your children." Take care of your child. Be a father to your children. And when every time I saw those huge advertisements, it breaks my heart, because that means the problem is still very much alive.
Yes. Unfortunately, it seems to be, and it doesn't seem like there's a solution yet. But we're hoping that your film, and I want to mention again where your film is going to be, that your film will at least help a lot of people realize the impact that a father not being in the home has on his children. And if you want to see Elsa, I'm going to give you the box office number of 212-875-5601. And as I said before, it's going to be at Lincoln Center, at the Walter Reed Theater, and that's located at 165 West 65th Street between Broadway and Amsterdam Avenue. And we're also talking to filmmaker Mariette Montpierre, for those that might have come in late and didn't hear. And this is also the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, and I'm your host, Deirdre Schuler. And she has chosen quite a few songs for her film. So we're going to play another song, and she's going to help me pronounce that one, too.
Sure. Which one is it?
It's by Dédé Saint-Pré.
Dédé Saint-Pré. He's wonderful. He does a lot of drums, and the name of the song is Vigor y Fuerza. Actually, it's in Spanish. Vigor y fuerza, meaning vibes and strength.
Well, here we go.
L'hospitalité, c'est point fort, nous vini bien, le cabine, au pays.
On est toujours de paradis, on est de gouvernement, la Caraïbe.
C'est pas soleil, non, mais seulement tiens, nous payons son cas postal.
On est toujours de paradis, on est de gouvernement, la Caraïbe.
Non, viens, chimé, allez, fallait pas mourir, c'est la paradis, aïe.
On est toujours de paradis.
Couteau, seulement qui savent du profond de tes yeux au
monde. Ils
payent l'anglais, payent l'hollandais, français, c'est une belle campion
culturelle. Racine
d'Afrique, Capalais, Jacques
Well, tell me about the cast.
Oh, wow. The cast. Amazing, amazing cast. The main character who plays my part of Elsa, her name is Stana Rumiak, S-T-A-N-A, Stana. She's from French Guyana in South America. She is an actress. She's a professional actress who appears in lots of different films in France. She's not known yet in America, but hopefully after this film she might be. She did her portrayal of Elsa is fantastic because she gives a very sensual dimension to the character. She's a very strong actress, and she brought a lot of emotion into the picture. As for the father, the part of the father is played by Vincent Bird Le Sage. He's actually half American. His father was an American who married his mother when they met after the war in France. But Vincent lives in Paris. He's an excellent actor because the whole challenge of his part was to be able to be charismatic, convey emotion, but yet not, there's very little dialogue. He barely talks in the movie, but it's all presence, charisma, and passion. He's a theater. He comes from theater. He has done a lot of plays, a lot of one-man show, and at some point, it was we were talking about him coming to the festival, so he might make it. He might be there. I'm not sure, but he will surprise me maybe he'll surprise me, and maybe he'll be here at the Lincoln Center for the screenings. I don't know. Then we have two amazing supporting actors. The first one is Christophe Cherki. He plays the part of Bernard, and he's a teacher. He lives in the West Indies, in Guadeloupe. He's a teacher. He teaches theater, and he's also an actor. And the part of Mrs. Desiree, who is the father's wife, is played by Sophie Berger, an amazing actress with lots of intuition. She plays, as I said, she plays the part of the wife, who doesn't know about this Elsa coming. So, and also we have this amazing little kid. Her name is Eva Constant. She is 6 years old. She was 6 years old, and she was the movie revelation. That was the first appearance ever in a film, and she did a great, great job. I have to mention that I have also a part in the film. I play the part of the mother. I play the part of my mom. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
And it was fun to be behind the camera. I mean, as much as I enjoyed being the director, I also had this really amazing experience acting as my mom. It was very moving.
Well, also tell me about, do you plan to take the film into schools?
Into schools, yeah. Well, I have started to do a little bit of a tour in different American universities. I have not shown it to any high schools, but only university. I went to the University of Rochester. I showed it in CUNY in New York. So I would love to show this to students, because I think that's where we can touch. The younger we talk about those, the younger age we reach, and we're able to convey, you know, that specific story in school, you know, the better off we are, because I think particularly teenage girls have a lot of psychological and issues, a lot of emotions, because when you don't know your father, you know, for instance, in my case, I didn't feel beautiful because I had never heard those words from my dad. And I think when you don't know your dad, you tend to suffer of low self-esteem. The relationships that you have with men later on are definitely the relationship you have with men when you're older is definitely based on the fact that you didn't have a father when you grew up. So you might try to get love in all the wrong places. So I think it's very important to educate women and to speak to them about the issue, and also to, you know, when they start having relationships with men, they don't fall into the same track, because we tend to follow the same pattern as our parents. Although we dislike the fact, you know, that we don't have a father, then we tend to, you know, many times to fall into that trap, and we produce that same pattern. So we want to break that chain. We want to break that pattern. So my feeling is
we're getting close to the end of our time.
Oh, yeah.
So I want to, I told you that time would go very fast, so I want to also tell people again to get tickets to the Elsa, go to 212-875-5601, call that number, and check it out on www.elsathemovie.com. And we've been talking to Mariette Montpierre, who's our guest today, and I'm Deirdre Shuler, your host, and this is the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul. And I'm going to thank my audience for making my topic topically yours. And go with, well, we'll end the show with, what else? Black Magic Woman.
All right. And the film is playing on the 12th at 4 p.m., 12th of April, and on the 15th at 6:15 p.m. So I'd like to see all of you. I'll be there for question and answer. Thank you so much.
And thank you for being our guest today. And here we end the show with Black Magic Woman.
Black Magic Woman, et un air de princesse, un regard, un murmure, et la vie s'arrête. Oh, Black Magic Woman, aveugle.
years après, honey, le hasard n'existe pas. Il était écrit là que nous devions nous rencontrer ici, face à face, sur le quai surpeuplé. Il n'y a plus personne, juste toi et moi, la magie.
Magic Woman by Victor O. This week's show featured filmmaker Mariette Montpierre talking about her film Elsa. And you've been listening to the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow